This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I like the old time singing, shouting. I like the old time way. I like the old time singing, shouting, preaching, praying. I like the old time way. Sing it again. I like the old time singing, shouting. I like the old time way. I like the old time singing, shouting, preaching, praying. I like the old time way. And so I sing about my Savior everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. That's why I sing about my Savior everywhere I go. For there's joy, joy in my soul. I like the old time singing, shouting. I like the old time way. I like the old time singing, shouting, preaching, praying. I like the old time way. So I sing about my Savior everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Oh, everywhere I go. That's why I sing about my Savior. Everywhere I go, for there's joy, joy in my soul. Amen. Amen. You can all be seated. If anyone has an unannounced special, you know, don't be afraid to raise your hand at this time or any other time. We always want to hear a special. But if not at this time, I'd like to ask Sister Nelly to give her testimony at the Nicaragua trip.
God bless you, saints. I'm sorry, I'm really nervous. first, I just want to start by thanking Brother and Sister Urego for arranging everything and taking care of all of us and being the best tour guides. I want to thank my parents, Mom and Dad, for allowing me to go. I'm sorry. So as you know, we were supposed to reach Managua Wednesday, but we only got to Houston, and after we got out off the plane, we went in this line to see if we can get another flight, basically, for that day, or if they could schedule another flight. And everyone was just tired and hungry and just exhausted. I know, and the lesson I really learned from that was just putting it into the Lord's hands. Because we were like, you know, if it's not your will, Lord, we won't go. Maybe Brother Luis and Brother Bob can go, but everyone else would just, you know, go home. But I really learned to just, you know, pray about it and just put into the Lord's hands. And he just makes a way. And that was a real blessing. We got a flight for Friday, and there was exactly, you know, 8 seats, and there was 8 people. So, you know, that was a real miracle, and I just want to thank the Lord for that. In Nicaragua, what my gist of it was, you know, from washing dishes by hand and being in believers' homes that didn't, you know, had dirt flooring or using outhouses, all I could see was just the happiness in their eyes and their hearts and how serious they were about the Lord, how content they were. And I just wish that we could be more like that, you know, to have very little and still put God above everything. And I just love being with them, the atmosphere. They're really sweet people. They're just wonderful brothers and sisters. And honestly, when Christy and them go back, I'm on the next flight back. It was just a real blessing. And putting all of these things into perspective has just moved my heart closer to the Lord. And I was very humbled by this experience. So thank you all for praying with us, praying for us. It was just a real blessing. Thank you.
Amen. And I will now give my testimony of the trip. Once again, if anyone has a special, don't be afraid to raise your hand. Actually, I can start off with that in Nicaragua, almost every service we went to, there was at least like four or five specials, so maybe we could think about that. And just, you know, feel free to come up. But, I want to thank Brother Luis, Sister Christine, for facilitating the whole trip, you know, allowing us to, you know, they know people and allowing us to go with them, and for the church and all the donations and everything that really helped out with the trip. And especially once our flights got delayed and canceled and all that, you know, your money really kept us afloat, that we were able to stay at a hotel, you know. And because God wanted us to go on this trip, like Sister Nala said, there was only 8 seats. And there was only 8 seats. And we were able to, all 8 of us were able to get on. So like Sister Nala said, that was really a miracle. And God really wanted us to go. So thank you for your donations. Everyone, if your first language is English, please raise your hand. That's wonderful. Okay. I think we should all thank God that our first language is English. Because this message came in English. And we're all able to easily read it, read the tapes, read the books, listen to the message, and in different parts of the country where the first language isn't English, they need interpreters, they need translators, they need all these different, they need people from here to go over there who know both languages. They need people like maybe Brother Bob, who only knows one language, but he can't just go by himself. He needs someone like Brother Luis. And there's just so much more that, there's so many more barriers that they have to go through to get to this message. So we should just all be that grateful that we happen to speak English, and that's what happened to be our first language. We happen to be born in a English-speaking country where the message came in English. And that's why Brother Branham says that America is going to get a special, you know, punishment. Because we speak English, the message came in English, so we had an American prophet, and we have all this technology and all this access and information, and we just don't use it. So we're going to get a special punishment if we don't grasp this word and really take hold of all the blessings that we've just been blessed with. There's nothing of our own merit. We've just been born here, and that's just, it's incredible, and we need to be thankful for that every day. And I also want to talk about just something this trip made me really grateful for is the progress that the missionary field has made in all the years, because it's just, you know, when that scripture says that, you know, spread the gospel to the utmost parts of the earth, you know, and we go to this small little island where, I mean, there's one message church on the entire island. People have dirt houses, you know, they're washing clothes by hand. They're washing everything by hand. They're doing everything by hand. There's no, you know, they don't call a plumber. They don't call a carpenter unless it's the guy around the street that they know that works with wood. But they have so little, and they're just so out of the way. But the fact that we're able to get to them and minister to them and fellowship with them, it's truly a blessing. So the progress that the missionary field has made, and Mr. Chanalis was saying, they're all very friendly people. Even through the language barrier, we're trying to understand them, but they're very happy, smiling, up, ready to talk to you. It's an incredible thing. And also the progress of the missionary field is also my own personal testimony, because, you know, a prophet one time went to Africa to do some missionary work, and that missionary work spread all the way to Zimbabwe, where my Methodist grandfather had a firstborn daughter who could then meet someone who was in the message, and then comes me, who can also be born to the message and born, you know, under the right atmosphere to receive the message as well. So that's just the progress of that and how much it spread, and that's why we're called to spread the gospel. We're called to, you know, whoever we run into, we need to try and get that word out, and that's how we're gonna get out of here, is making sure every child, every person of God gets that new birth, gets that experience, climb the stature of perfect man, comes to perfection, and then we can all leave. So that's why we need to continue the missionary field. So I'm very grateful for that. And also, just just to know that, you know, we have brothers and sisters everywhere and that we all know each other, you know, by the Spirit. You know, even Brother Branham said you can talk to someone and you can figure out that whether or not they're a Christian within 5 minutes. So, and just to be able to talk to people, and even through the language barrier, we can understand that they're, you know, Spirit-filled Christians, Spirit-filled believers. It was good to know them. So I think that fits well with the song I want to sing, which is, "They will know we are Christians by our love."
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things will come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His one and only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us all as one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love.
Good job. Let's give them another hand. We appreciate each and every one of you coming. We appreciate the time that you've come, that you've given to come today and listen to our brother pour his heart out. If you have anybody have anything as special or anything else they want to sing before we get started, because we're going to let Brother Darrell out. We're going to cut him loose and let him just preach his heart out. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I sure would love for you to come and sing. I knew they were somebody. Yes, ma'am, you come on.
We got plenty of time. I'll play the bass while I'm back there.
Yeah, right.
God bless you all.
Amen. You can be seated.
Well, the other day, the girls and my husband, we had our little Bible time together. And there's this song that I sang at my old church where I got saved at many years ago. And I sang it to the girls. I said, "This is my testimony." And I want to get emotional because Nyla's testimony meant a lot to me. And I know God's love is real and salvation is real. And he really did save me. I mean, I was a real sinner. I'm just being honest. I dressed bad. I talked bad. I cussed. I did everything. You know, I didn't do drugs and stuff like that, but I was out there. You know, dressing bad was dressing good to me. You know, I didn't know any better. I cut all my hair off, you know. If you saw somebody, be like, well, she's unsavable. You know, one time John, his daddy had us to go down to Macon, Georgia to deliver some money for his dad, for somebody down there for a job or something, or pick up some money. And we went down there, and these Christian folks took us out to eat. They were so kind to me. I didn't know they were message believers or anything. We just took us out, got some ribs and everything, just treated us so good. And I had my pants on. You know, I was just, you know, just worldly, but they were so sweet to me. I didn't know what was different about them. But now they're message believers. Maybe they prayed for me. So I'm just grateful for their kindness. So you never know who you're meeting, like how they look. Or don't judge people by how they look. Don't judge a book by its cover. You don't know, like, what's in their heart, you know. I know in my heart, like, I always want to be clean. And that's what drew me to this message. It's like we went to, like, some kind of little fake church. I'll just call it that. Before we end up coming to the message, he was raising the message. And I came to them, and I just couldn't hear it. They're like, we need to dress better. I was looking at them like, what, these other girls dressing bad? I'm going to continue in how I need to dress. But when I heard the true word of the message, like, I knew that this was the true salvation for a woman to wear a dress. Like, you know, like the 100% way, like not 60%, not 40%, not 10%. And I want to encourage every sister and brother to keep your purity. If there's one thing I cry out for, keep your purity. It's worth so much. It's so beautiful for a young man and a young woman to keep themselves in the Lord and stay bathed and clean in his presence. Now I'm speaking as a mother. I'm not speaking as a teen. Now I'm speaking as an older mother now, big children, 20-year-old, almost 17-year-old in a few weeks, and a 14-year-old. I beseech you all, keep holding on with the God, with the Lord. Keep holding on. Like, it will be hard, you know. I want to lie to y'all. It will be hard. But y'all keep holding on. Y'all are so beautiful and precious in his sight. You guys are gems. You guys are diamonds. I tell my girls, I beg them. I don't have the path I had. So I testify to all of you. I'm not ashamed. He is the one that cleansed me. He is the one that gave me this life. He's the one that gave me a family. He's the one that gave me a God-believing, God-fearing husband. It's only by his grace. There is nothing good in me. And so I just want to encourage each of you. And this song is a song I sang. I don't know how we're going to get it. I don't know how my voice will be, but I want to sing it for his glory because it meant a lot to me years ago, and it still means a lot to me now. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. That's the truth, y'all. A misery and woe, Jesus placed his loving arms all around me. Oh, Lord, help me. And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. Yes, Lord. But I'll never know just why he came to save me. Till someday I see his face. Lord, this is the truth, y'all. I want my girls to know him. I want my children to know him. I know the truth. He saved me. I don't want them to go through all the trials. There's no need. There's just no need. And when they're suffering, there's no need. It will cost you. It will cost you. You'll pay in some way. So I just beseech you all just to press on with him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
But you know, it was even better when she stuck her testimony into that.
Right.
When you plug yourself into these songs, it's what they don't just write them and fill up paper. It's got to mean something.
Right.
And when they got the inspiration to write it, God was telling that writer to put it on paper so that Sister Alicia can sing it today.
Right.
That's the way I see the thing, the inspiration. That's why I like specials, because it comes from your heart. Not everybody's singing, it comes from your heart. It's a special God put on your heart to sing to the people. Well, that thought was before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
We think all, we always think, Brother John, well, look, preaching's number one, we know that. But thank God for inspired songwriters.
Right.
Like we were talking about John and Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, you know, John Wesley was a messenger to the church age. But Charles Wesley wrote 6,000 songs.
Right.
And they weren't boogie-woogie.
Right.
For those of you that know what boogie-woogie is. That's rock music and all that other stuff. No, he wrote 6,000 songs that you and I can connect to God with.
Right.
Amen? Amen? Through song. That's why David, the psalmist David, was a man after God's own heart, because he sang and those evil spirits would just go away from him. You'll try that sometime.
Amen.
Have a bad day, start singing.
Amen.
Don't sing what you heard on the Walmart. No, not on the Walmart speakers.
Right.
Sing what God gives you in your heart.
Yes.
Amen. Well, let's have a different type of worship now. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. As Brother Darrell Ward from Johnson City, Tennessee, it's not Happy Valley Church anymore. It's the Word of Life Church. So they're changing. He said they're going to have their first service next Sunday. And then they're going to have an open house Wednesday and the church service next Sunday. And then several months, maybe in April, they're going to have a dedication service. So I'd like to go to that and see the new church. It's beautiful from the outside. I'd like to see it from the inside. So just beautiful group of people. Another set of the bride. And Brother Dale's been here before, so he's comfortable. And I hope he just takes his liberty today. Thank you again for all the young people coming and coming from different churches. We appreciate that. And we thank you so very much. And one more time, Brother Luis and Sister Christine and Brother Bob, they put their heart's work into almost 2 weeks of grueling, you know, riding in the back of a truck. And I don't forget y'all, but them's the adults. Y'all okay, but the adults, you gotta kind of pat them a little bit, you know. You got to stroke their ego just a little bit. Is this on? I'm sorry. But I want to give them one more hand.
Amen.
Amen. What Brother Joe Green say? If you can't go, what? Send somebody. And we appreciate you digging in your pocket and helping these young adults and them go and we pray that God will give them fruit for their labor, and if they don't know it now, they surely will see it on the other side. And it never will anybody go preach the message of the hour and it just return void. Right. It's going to accomplish, and it's going to help somebody, if no more than helping these as they come back. Doesn't it feel when you come back, you know, you really just condemn that bunch just like you did, right? Yeah. Y'all ought to be singing like these people sing. Y'all, 12 specials of service. Just be careful. We're still human beings. We're still Americans. So you have that zeal, you know. I went to Jamaica ever how many times, 11 times, and you come back and you're like, boy, these people are dead. But no, they're Christians, and it's just different worship. So you just have to kind of blend it all together, and you start dancing, and we'll probably start dancing with you. Okay? But good to have them back, and good to have Brother Darrell Ward with us, and we'll bring him out tonight or this afternoon. We'll have after service. We'll have pizza downstairs for everybody, and cookies and drinks, and then we'll have some fellowship afterwards. So just stay and hang around. We got all day, and then tomorrow morning we'll start back at 9:45. We'll only have one service tomorrow, and you're sure are welcome to come and be with us, and we sure appreciate you with the love of the Lord. Let's sing. What you want to sing for? Open the eyes of my heart. Okay. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that there's a way been made for us to see Him. When you see the Word promised for your day being manifested, you have saw Jesus, for He is the Word. Amen. He's just changed His mask. You know, here not long ago when we was all wearing masks, I had was traveling somewhere to preach. I stopped in to get something to drink, and I was standing there next to the tater chips, and this guy comes walking in. He must have been a local, and the lady behind the cash register, she looked at him when she comes in. She does a double take. She goes, "Why, John, you've changed your mask." And when she said that, I about shouted past the tater chips because I just caught a revelation. I thought, that's exactly right. He's just changed his mask. The same God that was in Jesus the groom is now in his bride, making himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a privilege it is to know the truth. Amen. When we're living in a time when nobody knows what to believe no more. CNN says Fox is wrong. Fox says CNN's lying. And oh my. But I'm so glad that we don't have Fox News, but we got the good news. Amen. And we can look in the back of the book and we find out we win. We win. Amen. We need to fight with that revelation that we win. Is that right? You know, when I was in the Army many, many years ago, I was up at Fort Bragg with the 18th Airborne Corps up there, Airborne Artillery, and they gave me a steel pot. They gave me an M16 rifle. They gave me a M203 grenade launcher that was mounted underneath my 16. They gave me combat boots. They gave me a backpack. They gave me all this stuff to fight with. but they never gave me a promise that I would win. No, they didn't. They said, go in there, you know, good luck. But in God's army, he gave us the helmet of salvation. Amen. He shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. And he gave us the promise, we win. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, turn with us to the book of Matthew. I want to read from Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 15. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I was supposed to be in the Nicaragua meetings myself this year, but my wife was in an automobile accident and totaled the car, and she suffered a concussion and some back injury, and I just couldn't leave my little queen. So we canceled and didn't go, but I heard the meetings was really good, and we're just grateful for those that were able to go. And if you've never been there, it is a humbling experience. Just precious, precious people. You know, Brother Bram said about the Spanish people, said they get their healing because they're willing to eat the crumbs. Right. And just a real humble people. Amen. That would have been my 15th trip, I think, there to Nicaragua. But I've been there with Brother Luis before. Just really good people there. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to go, but I've certainly heard some good reports from the meeting, so we're thankful for that. But I want to read now from Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 15. And I know I spit a little bit when I preach, but I didn't realize I spit that bad. Everybody's sitting towards the back, so but I'll try to watch it. Y'all move a little bit closer in the morning, and I'll try to watch it. No, just kidding, just kidding. Matthew 27, starting at 15. Do you love him?
Amen.
The Bible says this. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. And therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude. Be careful who persuades you. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, and he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. But you see, the prophet taught us the only way to get his blood off of your hands is to receive it into your heart. I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this evening on release the prisoner. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow our heads before you, we are so grateful, dear God, for your word. And Lord, that it's not just letter only, but there's a life behind the word. And Lord, that your word can still speak to our hearts, Lord, and change the condition of people's lives. And Lord, I pray this afternoon as we've gathered here, Lord, with these young people, Father, maybe something be said that would encourage them, Lord, to look, to see, Lord, that a way of escape has been provided. For David said, unto our God belongs the issue from death. And that word means the escape. You are the escape route, Lord, the exit door out of here. We are so grateful, Lord, in such a troublesome time. when men's hearts are continually evil. Yet, Lord, your word will prevail. And I pray, dear Lord, may you receive honor and glory unto yourself. Father God, if this whole gathering to this weekend would be for the sake of one soul, may your word touch that soul this day, I pray. Heal our sick, Lord, and encourage those that are discouraged. Set the prisoner free. Grant it, Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. As our scriptures open this afternoon, we find ourselves in a Roman prison house. Now, come with me. We're just a few minutes in your mind. Let's take this little trip back to this Roman prison. And as we make our way down the hall of this pest house of a prison, we come to realize that we are making our way down death row. That these are the cells of the prisoners of Rome who have been sentenced to death for their crimes against Rome. Can you imagine the smell, the unsanitary conditions and the rats and no good food and no good water, because after all, these men are condemned to death. So there's no use to try to preserve their life when they've been condemned to die. But let me say this afternoon that every person born on this earth was born under a sentence of death. We were, if you will, we were born on death row. For David said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. From the moment that we were conceived, we are on our path to death. You know, many people today, they have this idea, I don't need nobody. I don't need no friends. I don't need no help. I'm doing all right by myself. I'm smart, and I've got money, and I can figure it out, and I can make my own way. But you see, the prophet of God said, you were born defeated.
Right.
And that birth can never bring you to life. People strive so hard to be famous or to be popular or to be a movie star, but 9 times out of 10, most of those people end up with their lives destroyed.
Right.
Katie Spade, that people spend thousands of dollars to buy a Katie Spade purse. What did Katie Spade do? Hang herself in a hotel room. Robin Williams, a comedian that made everybody laugh and everybody, what did he do? Hung himself in a hotel room. Because we're born defeated, and there's nothing that we can ever do within ourselves that would ever bring us to life. The prophet said, you're in a defeated world, amongst defeated people, amongst defeated creeds and defeated denominations, but you've got to come to victory somehow. And before there can ever be a victory, there must be a victor. But you see, man was not born that way. Man was meant to be born free. But now we find them, that these men here on death row, that they have been sentenced to die by crucifixion. One of the most horrible forms of death that there were. Oh, friends, it's terrible what sin can do to you. You know, Brother Man talked about an eagle that was in a cage. And they said that eagle had just been captured, and it was one of the most pitiful sights that I ever had the privilege of seeing. He said that great heavenly bird had been captured and netted by someone and thrown into a cage. And that poor fellow was so out of place that he would jump with all that was within him against those big bars, flopping his wings, only to find himself to fall back on his back. And he said, then that poor eagle had beat himself against those bars until all of his feathers was beat off from his wings and his head and his face was bruised. And he said, I watched him again proudly walk back, and with all that was in him, he poured himself against the bars, only to find himself knocked backwards again. But he said that eagle, he wouldn't quit. Because he was out of place. He didn't belong there. He wanted to be free. He was born to be free. There was something in him that told him, this ain't who you really are. Oh, my faithful God, let me say this afternoon. I'm not going to quit. If I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up. If I fail, I'm going to ask forgiveness. But I'm not going to quit because I don't belong here. I come from somewhere else, amen. I come from God. I must go back to God. The prophet said as he lay there on that floor and those weary eyes soared to skies, he said, I thought, what a pitiful sight, made not to be on the earth here. He's a heavenly bird. His whole makeup was to live in the blue, way above the haunts and the cares of this world. But to see a bird like that, that was made up, born into earth to soar the skies, right, yet caged in such a way that he could never soar the skies again. A prisoner in a man-made cage. A prisoner. And the prophet said as he laid there looking at that place where he had been made, born to soar, he would not give up because something inside of him kept telling him, I don't belong here. Right. And maybe you're sitting here this afternoon, you're singing the songs, and you, the song service, and you was a part of it and singing the songs, and you're looking at a place and something in your heart is telling you, this is where you belong. This is where you belong. Maybe you've never surrendered to God in your life, and maybe you've just been, but something, you keep hearing the songs and the testimonies and the sisters, you poured out our heart, and something keeps telling you, this is where I belong. This is what I'm missing in my life. And that eagle, you know, he thought, this is not where I belong. This is not what I was born to be. But by the cunningness of man, this eagle had been caged for life. And the prophet said, what a pitiful sight it is. But I tell you something, friends, something more pitiful than that is to see men and women who were born and shaped in the image of God, to be sons and daughters of God, to be find them caged by sin and habits and the cares of this world. I'm not talking about just the ones out there in the barroom. I'm talking about the ones that sat among us on message pews, and yet they're still caged. It's far more pitiful than that eagle. Man was not made to be bound. Man is a free man whom the Son hath made free. Is free indeed. Man doesn't have to be bound like that. Oh my, the different things that cages men and deny them of their God-given privileges. Man-made in the image of his God. He doesn't have to be bound, a slave to Satan. He wasn't made to be a slave. He was made to be a son of God. God made man in his own image, amen. As we move down this hall, we come to cell number 5. Now, this cell belongs to the most feared, probably the meanest man in the region. His name is Barabbas. His name is Jesus Barabbas, which means Barabbas means son of the father. This man was a murderer. He was a thief. He was a criminal. But all of his meanness and his evilness had caught up with him, and now he was going to pay the price. And let me say, young people, you may think you're getting away with it. You may think that what you're doing, that nobody knows that you're doing it. But I want you to understand this afternoon, there is an all-seeing eye watching every one of us. And there is a payday that's coming. For be assured, if we sow it, we will also reap it. Amen. This man Barabbas, who had brought such fear upon the people. When you mentioned his name, people were scared to death of the name of Barabbas. Yes, right. But this man who had brought such fear and such distress, now he was feeling it himself. The prophet said all night long he walked up and down that jail pulling his hair, for the next morning he would go to a cross, capital punishment. He would die, and how the nightmares passed over him that night, and how he couldn't rest knowing the agony and the pain that he would soon face, death by crucifixion. You see where sin had brought him to. That's what sin had brought him to. Oh, he thought he's having him a big time when he was doing it. Yeah. Yeah. Reaping the benefits of his evilness. Yeah. But now it had all caught up to him. And the one who had brought such fear was now experiencing fear himself. You know, that was in Matamoros, Mexico. A sister there had a young boy raised in a message church. But he wanted to be a part of this cartel. So he left the message church to follow this ideal of being a gangster. But all this gangster caught up with him. Because the boy disappeared. And his mother sought and sought and sought to find out what happened to her son who went to a message church. His grandfather was the pastor of the church. And finally, she got word from the cartel, do not look for your son. There is no body. For we put him in a barrel of acid. And there is nobody, because she asked him if he would just give me my son's body that I could bury him. And finally, after all these months of wailing, and they sent word, do not look for your son. There is no body. So all of his desire to be a gangster, look what his gangster brought him. And that's where we find Barabbas now. It had all caught up with him. And let me say this afternoon that there is in this building a thief. But this thief, he doesn't want your iPhone. You don't have to pull it up close to you. He don't want it. He's got one. He don't want your credit card. He wants your soul. He wants to rob you of every redemptive blessing that Christ died for you to have. You say, oh, Brother Dow, he won't come for me. I'm young. I'm only 8. I'm 10. I'm 11. I'm 7. He won't come for me. But I want you to understand this afternoon, he will come. Amen. Oh, he won't come for me. Yes, he will come for you. Jesus said, the thief cometh. He wants to rob you. His desire is to lock you up in a prison house. He wants to lock you up in a cell. He'll give you drugs. He'll give you fashions. He'll give you popularity. He'll give you sex before marriage. He'll make it look so inviting. He wants to bring the sentence of death to manifestation in your life. That's his desire, amen. And he's here to do that. We are guilty by our birth. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That price must be paid, amen. Amen. And so he, this thief, Satan, he will make it whatever it is. Because your it may be different from their it. But whatever it is, he'll make it look so fun. He'll spin his web on you until he gets you caught up with a habit of cigarettes or drugs or alcohol. Or video games. An addiction is an addiction, no matter what the addiction is. Are you listening to me? He wants to rob you of your time. We spend so much time on Facebook, we have no time for Jesus. Prison houses, cell blocks that Satan wants to lock the people in. Hallelujah. He wants to rob you of your time. Do you have no time for Jesus? No time for fellowship? Well, this ain't just for young people. This is for all of us. Preachers too. Preacher, amen. He'll rob you of your virtue and throw you in a prison house to lock you in a cell of despair, a cell of depression. You say, even young people, yes. They're battling it everywhere, especially since the lockdown from the pandemic. The fear among the young people, depression and psychological problems. It's off the charts. That's right. He wants to lock you in a prison house, bound by lust, bound by pornography. And that's not just for the men, women too. And that's not just for teenagers. It's young people, 8 and 9, bondage and pornography. Don't get quiet on me. I'm telling you the truth. Someone sent me the other day, said, please pray for my daughter. She took a knife and cut hate on her leg. Venting their fear, venting their anger by taking a knife and trying to relieve it through their own flesh. What is it? Nothing but a prison house of Satan. Oh my. Bound by condemnation. By something that you've done in your past. Maybe you made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. Amen. Every one of us, from the pulpit to the back door, we've all made mistakes. But once they're confessed and dipped in the bleach of the blood, God doesn't even remember that you've done it. But Satan wants to hold you in a prison house because you made a mistake when you was young. Bound by habits until he has you so locked up. There seems no way out. So you sit like you're dead on a pew because you think nothing that's preached, nothing that's no special, no testimony that's, none of it's for you because you are done with past your day of grace. Or he'll bind you with sickness, a prison house of asthma, or sugar diabetes, juvenile sugar diabetes, cripple you with juvenile arthritis, trying to hold you in bondage. He'll lie to you and tell you there's no hope for you. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. Nobody's got time for you. He'll tell you you'll never find a husband. You'll never find a wife. Anything he can do to upset you and hold you down from feet, oh God, from making your full potential in Christ. Because the devil don't care if we come to church. If we sit like we're dead, we need to come through those doors knowing who we are. I come from God. I come for a purpose, amen. I come to wreak havoc on Satan's kingdom. He'll tell you the only way to vent your fear is to attack your own body. So he offers you razors and knives to cut your own flesh to vent your anger. He'll use fashion, peer pressure. He'll tell you slim is beautiful until he locks you away in a prison house of bulimia. You know what bulimia is? It's where you eat your food and you throw it back up because you don't want to get fat. And what does Satan do? He puts these women on these magazines. It makes them look so beautiful, so slim. But you don't realize that's photoshopped. They don't even look like that. Come on, friends. But he'll tell you, that's where you need to look. You want to be popular, you got to look like that. You got to dress like that. You got to act like that. Oh, my. Bulimia. You said that's in the message? Oh, friends. I've been in youth camps. I've prayed for the sick. I've heard their testimonies. It's nothing. What is it? It's nothing but a prison house of hell. He'll rip your parents' marriage apart and tell you it's your fault that they split. And you live in the guilt of something that you had nothing to do with. Hold you in a prison house of fear. Fear of missing the rapture. Fear, nervousness, a fear of not being popular. A fear of not being wanted, not being pretty. Fear of not fitting in. What is it? All prison houses of Satan. But let me tell you, young people, God made you the way he wanted you. Hallelujah. He's a God of variety. Amen. He'll tell you God don't care for you. You've sinned away your day of grace. What is it? Satan holding God's children in bondage. Held down, locked up to it. Seems like there's no way out. Just like Barabbas. Here he is now held in a Roman prison. Pacing the floor, knowing the prophet said that in the next morning, no breakfast or nothing, knowing that his blood would be strung out like among the wolves. And all at once, he hears chains rattling. The prophet said, trampling of the soldiers. Here comes four or five, maybe a battalion of Roman soldiers, the spears glittering, walking up there, and that big jailer turns the key, says, Barabbas, walk out. So you think he felt that morning when you heard the Romans coming with those big galleries, the big iron shoes, are stomping along, chains rattling, spears dragging on the street to know he's going to be killed. And when he opened up the doors, Barabbas trembling and crying, ready to run, saying, this is the end of me. And now we see him. Are you still with me? And now you see him. We see here Jesus. We see Pilate. Jesus is on the right hand, Barabbas on Pilate's left, standing before the people, knowing that the Jews would release one. Pilate says, "Who do you want?" On one hand was Barabbas, a thief, a murderer, a liar, evil in his flesh. He wasn't accused of this. That's who he actually was. He wasn't falsely accused. He was guilty. He knew he was guilty. And on the other hand was Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy One, the Messiah. One who'd done nothing but evil and one who'd done nothing but good. Healed the sick, raised the dead. There was no comparison. And the crowd cries out, "Barabbas, give us Barabbas." What shall I do with Jesus called the Christ? Crucify him. They were crying for his blood. But little did they know that's exactly what they needed. They didn't realize it. Maybe you failed to realize the thing you need. The thing you need to make your life complete is in this building right now. Release the prisoner. Release the prisoner. Release Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And Jesus stood there. Oh, I can see it in my mind. Jesus stood there silently, for he knew the will of the Father. He knew the Father's will. He said, "Father, let them have Barabbas." For Jesus knew. Oh, God. As our sister sung, there is no friend like the lovely Jesus. He stood there silent. His Father, give them Barabbas, because he knew the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Oh God. He became me that I might become him by grace. You see, Barabbas thought it was the people that made him free. He thought it was the will of the people that set him free. And let me say, this nation is built upon liberty and justice for all. And in their desire to be free, they are more bound than ever. Listen to me. There is no law. There is no law made by man that'll ever make us free. Amen. No, Barabbas. No. It wasn't the people that set you free. It was the love of God that set him free. For you see, Jesus was the very heart of God expressed. You see, when I look at this story, as I pondered it and was writing some of these notes out and was looking at this, I come to realize who Barabbas, son of the Father, who that really is. It's me. It's you. It's us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I should have stood there on that platform in my sins, in my guilt, in my failures, a condemned prisoner, chained and shackled by Satan, caught up in his web, guilty by birth. But Jesus said, "Take me. Take me. Let Darrell go. Let Wade go. Son of the Father. Son of the Father. Let him go. Let the prisoner go." And the Bible says they took him, Jesus, they took him to Calvary, and there they crucified him. And in his dying minutes, his life leaving his body, and the pain was so great, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He pushed up on the cross and he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And down in hell, I could just say, "Oh, you got him, boss. You got him. Ain't nobody die like that. I couldn't have been him. I'm telling you. You're victorious. You've stopped him. You got him, boss. And all at once, he heard. Satan says to one of the demons, open the door and see who that is. And the demon said, it's your house. You open the door. And he goes to the door. He opened the door. There stood Jesus. He says, well, I see you finally arrived. Welcome. Oh, he didn't want him down there. Look what a bluff he is. Well, I've been, well, no, you don't want no part of him. Jesus said, yes, I've arrived. I've arrived for one purpose. You put fear and chills over the people long enough, but I've come down to take over. Amen. I am the virgin-born Son of God. Satan said, I've got a right. Adam sinned. But Jesus said, my blood is still wet on the cross. And that paid the price for the sin. Yes, sir. And I've come to take over. Give me the keys to death and hell. Oh, hallelujah. He slapped him, threw him back in there. Get back in there where you belong. Rip the keys off of his side. Oh, my. It's the last blood. Has been shed for the remission of sins and for their sickness. And you can't keep them any longer. There will be a people who will believe me. And you can't bind them any longer with sickness. You can't bind them with fear. For they will believe me. Hallelujah. For I have the keys of death and hell. Oh my, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. For he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. At that moment, friends, let me listen to me. Every prison door, every chain door, every prison house begin to burst open. Every cell block that Satan had to launch and to bind humanity. Christ opened up the prison house and said, release the prisoners. And I say to you this afternoon, if you can receive what he did for you, you are pardoned, amen. And your prison house has been opened. I wonder if we could see what Barabbas saw. Someone taking our place. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I was healed, amen. We, the guilty ones who should be sick, can you see him as your deliverer? Yes. You who should go to hell, yep. You see him in your freedom, your path to heaven. I wonder if you could see what Barabbas saw on that day. What did he see? Someone taking his place. And I say, friends, if you are in a prison house of Satan, I don't care what you've done, if you're ready. If you'll take the step this evening, you are free. Christ has liberated the prison house. You say, I'm lost as a coin in a sand pile. But you don't have to be, the prophet said. There's someone standing present right now. Oh my. There is someone standing present right now that'll find you the moment you want to be found. Feel accepted, friends. Your prison door is opened. If you believe me, you can step out. You can step out. Well, Brother Darrell, I've done this. I don't care what you've done. The blood of the Lamb of God has freed us of our history, of our mistakes, of our failures, of our besetting sins, of our habits. Come on, somebody. Whatever you're battling in your life. Oh, I was in Alaska, Chivac, Alaska, a few years ago. There's a young girl there, 21-year-old. She come up to me. She said, Brother Darrell, I'm an alcoholic. I've tried everything to quit drinking. She said, I've been through the 9-step program 3 different times. She said, I cannot stop drinking. She said, I'll go for a while, and then I fall right back into it. I've got a young child. I don't even know who the father is because I was drunk. And I said, you know what I'd do if I was you, sis? I would lay that alcohol at the altar.
Right.
And I would take my freedom in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
You lay it down and accept what he did for you. And I began to pray for that young girl. I'll never forget it. She began to scream to the top of her lungs, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! Hallelujah! And I was up there just the other night, not long ago, and she came up to me and she said, Brother Darrell, I've been sober for 2 years. Why? Because whom the Son hath made free is free indeed. If he can do that in Alaska, he can do that in Lula, Georgia this afternoon. Whatever it is, whether it's sickness, fear, oppression, depression, you can go free. He's opened the prison house. And you, this afternoon, I don't care if you're 8 or 80, you can go free. Or you can close the door, stay in your cell, in that pest house, in that coldness of fear, isolation, or you can go free. The door has been opened. Well, if he would only do it, he's already done it. You just have to receive it. You know, I was eating in a restaurant the other day. I'm closing. I was in a restaurant the other day. The waitress came up to me and said, with my family, said, is there anything else you want? I said, no, ma'am, that's fine. I said, if you'll just bring the check. She said, your check has been took care of. I said, excuse me? She said, somebody saw you in here and they wanted to buy your meal. I said, well, let me give you, she said, the tip. They even gave me a tip.
Oh, man.
Now, I could have done one or two things. I could have argued with her. Are you sure it's me? Maybe it's that table over there you're talking about. Or,
yeah.
I didn't see nobody in here that knew me. You, are you sure it's me? Are you sure? But maybe I better go ahead and pay it because I'll go out that door and you'll say I tried to steal a meal.
Yeah.
I could have sat there and argued.
Yep.
Just like some of you argue with him.
Right.
Or I could have received what was done for me.
Amen.
And walk out with a free meal. You can receive what he's done for you and walk out with a free meal.
Amen.
And that pizza will taste a whole lot better when the chains of your enemy is off of you. To be unshackled. I wonder if we can see what Barabbas saw. Someone taking our place. Think about it. Can we come this afternoon on the basis of what Christ done for me?
Yeah.
Just do like that young girl. Give him your shame.
Right.
Give him your pain.
Yeah.
Give him your weakness.
Yeah.
Give him your sin.
Yeah.
Give him your habit.
Yeah.
Give him your fear. Yeah. Give him your depression. Just give it to him.
Yeah.
And walk away free.
Yeah. Yeah, Lord.
For he said, release the prisoner. Let the Son of the Father go free.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
He took our place. He went from the cross to the grave. From the grave to the sky. And he said, where I am, there shall you be also. The prison doors are open, friends. You can step out this afternoon. You see, Jesus was the conduit. He was the channel that brought the Son back to the Father. Do you love him? Let us bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. When no one could help me, when I couldn't even help myself, you done for me what no other could do. Oh God, Maybe Satan's been lying to some of these young people. Maybe they've been coming to this church, just sitting on the pew. They feel like they don't fit in. They don't belong. Because Satan has told them it's not for you. You're not one of them. Or maybe they've looked at some of the lies that's been posted on the internet and it's confused their minds. Satan trying to lock them up in a prison house of confusion. Or whatever it would be, Lord. We spoke of many different things, but maybe something here that someone's dealing with that wasn't spoke. But Lord, may they realize even though it wasn't spoke, they can still go free from that, Lord. For whom the Son is made free is free indeed. Oh, Father, may we realize, may each of us realize, Lord, that Barabbas, it's me, Son of the Father. And oh, God, I pray this afternoon, if there be one, Lord, who could step out free, then these meetings have not been in vain, Lord. God, you see the needs of your people. The congregation this size, Lord, no doubt there's many needs. Some sick, Lord. Some battling different things. Cancers, Lord. Whatever it would be, I don't know, Lord. But you know every person here. And I pray in the name of Jesus, by the same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave, may it move upon each heart and upon each home, Lord. Grant it this afternoon, I pray, Father God. In Jesus' name. Well, every head's bowed just a moment. Not to point you out, friend. I would never do that. But if you're here and you believe that God sent this message for you, and maybe you're dealing with things your parents don't even know, your brothers and sisters don't know, your husband, your wife, nobody knows but you. But this message just spoke to you and you believe the report. You know, I don't know what Barabbas done. I've looked at different places. I've never really found out what Barabbas done with his freedom. But I want to ask you this afternoon, what are you going to do with your freedom? That's already been given to you. Will you accept it? Or will you close the prison door and stay? Because you see, anytime you come to a service, the prophet said you'll either be better or worse off. And I say to you, don't leave worse. The prison door is open. If he'd done it up there in Alaska for that young girl, he can do it here in Lula, Georgia for you. And if you're here, I just wonder if you would just slip up to your feet and say, would you remember me, Brother Darrell? Friend, I don't need to know. He knows. He already knows. Would you say, I'm going to accept my freedom today? Satan's been lying to me, but I ain't going to take that lie no more. I'm going to stand on the promise of the Word. Would there be one? Would there be one? Amen. Look what he gave you. Look at the freedom he gave you. Now, why don't you give him your shame? Why don't you give him your fear? Why don't you give him that besetting sin and step out free? Would there be anyone? Hallelujah. I give myself away. I give myself away so you will use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you when you use me, here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see.
Let's stand.
Your desire revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use.
I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me.
Take my
heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.
Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this afternoon for your word. For you said it would not return unto you void, but it would accomplish that which it was sent to do. Father God, we're living, Lord, when the scientists have just set the clock 30 seconds to midnight, the doom of the world. Lord, there's young people sitting right here in this building that has no future, Lord. The prophet of God said, watch Russia, not the USSR, watch Russia. When it goes, she goes to get the oil. Lord, we see what Russia's raising its head over there, the king of the north. Yeah. Father God, we've seen this week in California two earthquakes right around the Los Angeles area. Your prophet of God said they'll sink that place. God will sink it beneath the sea. Amen. Signs everywhere, Lord. UFOs, and even our own government is now acknowledging and starting an investigation of UFOs. And your prophet told us, Lord, it's investigating angels. Amen. The prophet of God said, Lord, in the last days that there would be blackouts. Yep. Lord, we're seeing them everywhere. It's in the news, Lord. Amen. The blackouts striking the nations, Lord, striking the states. But your prophet said in that hour when the blackouts and those things are happening, amen, there will be a light return. Amen. Oh, God. We believe, Lord, we're living in the closing moments of the Gentile dispensation. And Father God, we believe, Lord Jesus, of the soon catching away of your people. And we say, yea, Lord, even so, come quickly. For Lord, it was in Egypt when your children began to cry out for deliverance that you told Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people and I have heard their cry. Oh God, I've never seen a time, Lord, I've been preaching 30 some years, traveling and evangelizing, and I've never seen a time when the people are crying out for deliverance like they are now, Lord. The signs are everywhere. And oh God, I pray today, may there not be a one within the sound of my voice miss that moment. May they not miss it, Lord. Don't let the enemy lie to them, Lord. But may they receive it, God, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Oh, friend, if you're here, just say, Lord, would you have mercy on me? Just wonder if you just raise your hand to say, Lord, Lord, hide me, dear God. Hide me under your wings, Lord Jesus. Hide me from the wrath that is to come. Oh, I want to be free. I want to go free. Yes, God bless the hands over the building. Oh, Lamb of God, today you see, Lord, the hands of your children, dear God. Lord, may your spirit move upon each heart, dear God, upon each life. Father, whether they would be old or whether they would be young, it does not matter, dear God. Hear the cry of our heart today, Lord. Receive us, dear God. We accept, oh God, today. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our trespasses. Forgive us of our slothfulness, dear God. Oh, Father, let a revival break out, dear God. Let it stir every heart, I pray. in the name of Jesus Christ. We lay before thy throne today. Fill us, dear God, with the unction of thy spirit, O Lord. Grant it, O God. Satan, you're defeated. Come out of the people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you today for the glory of God and for his kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Do you receive it? Let's raise our hands to him now and say, Lord, I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I bless your name, Lord. I bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. In silence, pray that night, and in their strength, hallelujah, began to sing.
Yes, Lord.
You saints. Amen. Amen.
I bless your name.
Sing it to me. If you have a need, do not leave this building without getting what you came for. If you should find, sing it to me. Brother, a good hand. He opened his heart out to us. Now let's open our heart out and praise God. That's who he was preaching about. He wasn't preaching about himself. He was preaching about God. I was thinking while he was ministering, you know, I read you that quote not too long ago where Brother Brown said, Sister Alicia was talking about holding yourself. That's why your virginity, that's why it's so important, because you take it over to the spiritual part. And listen, but there comes one time, remember I read the quote, Brother Brown said, you've held yourself all your life. All your life you've held yourself. You fought off them devils called boys. You fought off all the things to stay pure. But there's one day you got to give up what you've been saving all your life. When you give it all to your husband, what a special thing. So now let's take it over to the spiritual part. We've had demons beat on us. We've had devils all over us. And we've tried our best to stay the virgin bride of Jesus Christ. But one day, folks, we got to give it. We got to surrender everything we are to our husband. He'll never do us wrong. He'll never divorce us. Amen? We're the bride. We're the reason that he came back on the day of Pentecost, was to get a bride ready. But have we surrendered all? Have we went ahead and said, okay, God, you're my husband. I'm giving you everything I got. Everything I got. That's why the song, I Surrender All, that's good. But if you're not raising your hand, you ain't surrendering. Universal sign of surrender. Universal, all over the world. When you throw both hands up like this, you've surrendered. Now what I tell you, if you put one hand behind your back and you surrender like this, no, you might get shot. Because you can use this hand to get whatever, gun, knife, whatever. But when you got both hands up in the air, there's nothing you can do. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to give our all. Like that sign says back there, and that Brother Darrell preached that sermon years ago about giving our all to Jesus Christ, and that's why it's on that door back there as you walk in. He's talking about the football team, you know, saying that today we give our all to Tennessee football. He had been down there and looked in the stadium, and they hit the door every time they go out. Have you give your all today? If they can do it out in the world and act crazy, jump up and down, shout and scream for their favorite team, I think we ought to do the same thing for our favorite team. Amen. Team Jesus. Amen. Team Jesus will never, he'll never lose. You ain't got to look for the score. It's already done. He won at Calvary. But thank God there was a Barabbas, because it proved who Jesus was. It proved who Jesus was. It proved that somebody had to take my place so that I could go free. Hey, listen, the crowd, they hated Jesus. They're going to hate you. They wanted Barabbas. They wanted a thief and a liar. That's what's the same thing in the world. All you young people, they love you out there. Why? They love you out there because you just like them. But when you make a stand for God, when you surrender yourself to him, you become real odd to the world, because the world will surrender themselves to drugs, alcohol, all the different things of the world. But if you surrender today, you surrender all to Jesus Christ, you'll never lose. And he said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never forsake you. We've had a good time. Just getting started. Everything's all good. Good to see everybody here again. And God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's sing another song before we go. We have more people than we thought, so June had to go get up the order of the pizza, so they're going to be maybe 5-ish or more before they get it, and so it'll be close to 5:30 when we get back. She gets back, so we've got about 45 minutes, so let's sing a few songs. Let's worship him. Hey, let's worship God. Amen? Let's worship God. Let's get into overtime. This is overtime. Brother Darrell brought us a game-winning touchdown. So let's get into a little bit of overtime. Let's sing a little bit. Let's worship God. Let's go.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world that have made.
Sing it to him.
I see the stars.
Hey, you know what? We know this guy he's singing about. He's our husband. How intimate.
Savior God, to thee. sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, when through
take think about that song when it says, then sings my soul. We always want to think some angelic, right on key, everything's just flowing. And then Brother Branham comes up and starts singing from his soul. It's off key, misses the words, can't get the note right, but he's singing from his soul. It doesn't sing, are you singing, you know, the right key from your soul? No. Is it you're letting your soul out? So the real you can start singing. Because all of us are not made where we can sing. But I'll promise you, the Satan's not going to shut my mouth. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. It doesn't matter if it's on key, off key, up key, down key. It don't matter. Because it comes from the soul. It doesn't come from me trying to be an angelic voice. No, let angels be angels. They can sing because God made them where they can sing. But now, he didn't say that about us. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Let's sing another song. You got another one to sing.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and rise, keep on the firing line.
You bring your sword today?
Makes me white as snow.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the gold that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, I know.
There's not another fountain that's gonna quench your thirst but this one. Nothing can for sin atone.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Not
all good that I have done is nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is His blood that makes me white as snow.
Seated.
We're gonna have a special. We're gonna have the my Sunday school class to come up and sing "Touched by a Fire."
Hey, man, come on. Thank you, Lord.
We're going to do dry bones. We don't have the chords.
Okay, we're singing a different song.
There's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. And one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God. Yours is the victory. As we know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. As we call
understand you have your class at a special. If you want to do it today or tomorrow, it's up to you. You can do it today.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have all of them. Okay, so we're going to try this. We haven't, well, we practice a lot in Sunday school, but and in Sunday school we do a thing where we point, and so when we point at a person, everybody stops singing, and the person that I point to sings the best that they can because it helps them to remember the words. So we're going to try that for you now. This is kind of raw, and we haven't really tried it in front of people, but we'll see how it goes.
You make me lie down in green pastures. You make me watch it. My hunger with honey from your sweet, sweet words.
You
make me worship before you, so I will love and adore you. You are my shepherd, you are my Jesus, you are my Lord. Lie down in green pastures. You make me wanting for nothing. You fill my hunger with honey from your sweet, sweet words. You make me worship before you, so I will adore you. You are my shepherd. You are my Jesus. You are my Lord. You make me lie down in green pastures. You make me wanting for nothing.
Fill my hunger
with honey from your
words.
You will be worship before you, so I will
adore you.
You are my shepherd.
You are my Jesus.
You are my Lord. You make me worship. Fill my hunger with honey from your
sweet words.
You make me worship before you, so I will
are my shepherd, you are my Jesus, you are my Lord.
Sing, I've been changed.
I have been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged, and what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, they are white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Cause I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. And what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. 'Cause I've been changed, I've been reborn, let's stand. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Oh, I've been changed, and I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed.
Amen. How many of us has had a change in our life? Amen. We walk with God, we have a change in our life, and it may be just a little bit at a time, but look, step forward. Amen. Put God first and just take another step. Put God first, take another step. Put God first, take another step. Devil tries to get you, say, excuse me, sir. I'm a child of the King. You can't touch me. I'm a child of the King. Amen? I want to tell you a little something before we dismiss. I'm watching online somebody, wasn't even a message preacher. Oh, good grief. Brother Darrell's laughing in there. But you know, I always wondered why the prodigal son's father ran to him. The Bible tells us when he sees his son, he runs to him. You know why? Now that's not in the Bible. But Jewish tradition tells us, or told that person, they'd done some study, the reason the father had to run to the gates of the city to get the son before the son entered into the city was that under Jewish tradition, if you got an inheritance and you wasted it on Gentile righteous living, you know, he went out, he got rid of all his money and he bought and sold and got all kind of stuff and got in a bad way. But you couldn't come back in the city, they'd stone you. So the father knew that. And before the devil, the people of the Because see, if he'd have let that guy walk on in, if he'd let his son walk on in, doesn't matter son or not, they could have stoned him. They could have killed him. But he went out, remember, put the coat around him. He said, welcome home. In other words, I'm going to take your shame, and I'm going to bring you back into where you're supposed to be. Well, praise God. If that didn't help you, it sure helped me. Amen? I always wondered why he ran out. Sure, you know, you're happy, but why couldn't the guy, you know, the son come? No, he had to go get him. He had to go protect him. As we were talking, as Brother Darrell was talking about, Jesus looked over and he said, in his mind, he said, Barabbas, I got to die for you. I'm going to die for you this day. I'm going to die. I'm going to take your place. And if he would have accepted Jesus Christ, you know what? He would have been a Christian. But he didn't. We know what happened, or we don't know what happened, but he never was recorded anymore. But we sure appreciate all of you coming. Let's give Brother Darrell another hand. And all these ones that have been singing, we're going to... June's on her way back, so if your sisters want to get everything ready, and drinks are in the refrigerator and all that, but she'll be back here in just a few minutes, and we'll eat. And then after that, we'll fellowship. Whatever we got for the young people, we sure appreciate that. June's here, so... Okay, well, God bless you then. Brother Boyd. Okay. So as we pray over the food, visitors, you go first to eat, but let's pray for Brother Hal Thomas. He's in a nursing home. He's fighting dementia, kind of, where he doesn't know where he's at, and sometimes he gets in a bad way, and boy, it's just hard to see somebody like that. It's just the devil. It's just the devil. God's not doing that. The devil's doing that. So let's pray that, as we say before, we want the devil to be so uncomfortable that he'll leave us. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for looking over one day and looking at this poor old sinner and said, I'll die for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take your place. I don't care what you've done. You may be a murderer. I'm going to take your place. Well, Father, I pray that today, Lord, that same Holy Spirit will go to Brother Hal Thomas, Lord, and soothe over, Lord, that thing that's binding him, Lord, making him aggravated and angry and all that. Lord, we know it's just humanity, but we know it's the devil. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that that will be lifted off of our brother. That it not be a hardship on the family, Lord, that he will come back out of it, Lord, and we'll hear a good report. Father, we pray now that you'd bless Brother Darrell, Lord, as he meditates again now for tomorrow's service. Lord, give him rest, Lord, and all we have a meal. I pray, Lord, that you'd sanctify that meal, that'll nourish our bodies, and we'll have good time in you, Lord, that we'll have some good fellowship, Lord, around the Word of God. But we're going to eat first. So, Father, I pray that you'd sanctify that food to the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, just be with us. Protect us and keep us. Thank you for all the ones that have come. They're not visitors. Everybody's been here before, I'm pretty sure. So we appreciate them coming. We appreciate them supporting this youth ministry, Lord, that we're having here on Saturdays. And I pray that you just bless us now and take care of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you're dismissed, lying
to God, he set me free. Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. Oh, he set me free, and he broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. 'Cause he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke